Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. Hello, world. I am Rob Brown. The great one, the wizard of wave, the professor of perfection, the alpha and the omega of the Fan Upstate, the conductor of the symphony of sound that is the Rob Brown Show, the content cash cow, Colonel Grudge, hashtag dad kicks. Lonzo is at the helm today.
Good night, everybody. After that, you know, how many more nicknames can you give me?
I had one more for you the other day, but now I forgot what it was. I like the Wizard of Wave. That one sticks
for a while until Jericho changes and decides.
No, that to one. No, I, in fairness, I said that before he started throwing fireballs at people.
You probably did.
So basically, Chris Jericho. By the way, big fan of the show is Chris Jericho. Listens all the time. I'm not going to say I started calling you the Wizard of Wave, and then all of a sudden Chris Jericho started calling himself a wizard, but timeline adds up.
Wonder if engineering would frown upon us, you know, doing some
throwing fireballs?
Wizardry in here that involves fire. Yeah.
I don't know that either one of us needs a flamethrower in the office. You'll notice that I relegated it to in the office. There are a lot of other places I absolutely do. I could have some fun, but just not in the office.
I'm going to throw it up against that glass.
See what happens. Busy day coming down the pipe. We talked a little bit about the Warriors and the Mavs. The Mavericks last night, I don't know, Lonzo, was it a blowout or was it not? Because on one hand, the Mavs were up 29 points early in the fourth quarter. On the flip side, they won by 10, and it was as close as 7 with 2 minutes left to play.
All right. So,
is that a blowout or
so
not?
If I recall, Golden State started taking their players out. So then Dallas started taking their players out. So what it ends up being is that one bench is stronger than the other. And so they had to start once Golden State started coming back, then they're like, oh, we got a chance. So they started putting their guys back in. Dallas had to put – it could have been a blowout. They took their foot off the gas, Dallas did, and they shouldn't have. They should have made it 50.
Any credit to the Golden State bench for showing out late in that game? I mean, it could have been worse of a blowout.
Oh, absolutely. When you can, games, it's the NBA. A game's not out of reach. They had an entire quarter, and they just started chipping away at that thing and making their way back into the game. They definitely get a lot of credit for that.
I was impressed by their bench players. I genuinely was.
And I'm watching the game like, why are you taking the starters out? Don't do that. Score as much as you possibly can on this team.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Golden State, again, Golden State's bench deserves every bit the amount of credit, the same amount of credit that the Dallas Mavericks starters, do. For creating the situation where the Warriors bench had to come alive. Like, they were great. They were great. Here's the question that I genuinely have, though. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, though. Why in these NBA playoffs, which started so exceptionally well, they were competitive. They were close. We had back and forth games. Even Dallas Phoenix was good. Why is it in these NBA playoffs, we started with such a close and competitive set of games? And then, as we get deeper into the playoffs, they're getting progressively worse, right? Dallas Phoenix was a great series. Though I wish there would have been one more Memphis win to make Memphis Golden State a great series. It was a really good series. Boston Milwaukee was a really good series. Why is it that for whatever reason, Miami-Philadelphia was, it was pretty good. Philly tried to climb back in there at the end. First off, before anybody hits me with, hold up, Rob, Miami-Boston is square at 2 apiece. I know, I agree, of those four games, all four of them have been blowouts. Lonzo, if this series ends in game 7, 4-3, but every game is won by 20 points or more, is that a great series? Or is that just inconsistency being weird? I wouldn't call it a great series.
See, I don't know how to answer that because it's tied. I mean, it is. And if it goes 7, that means, it was back and forth, which is what you want in a series. I mean, if it's a 1-point game, yeah, I guess that makes it more compelling, but It's just more proof.
None of them have been good games. I haven't finished a single game in the Miami-Boston series. Yeah. None of them have been like, I better stick around and stay up late for this. It's been, thankfully, this one's over so I can get an extra hour of sleep.
It's just like they trade being in the zone. One team's in the zone, the other one is not. I don't know. Just like I don't know whose turn it is to win tonight. Whose turn is it? I mean, they're taking turns. I don't know. Whose turn is it? Who won the last one? Miami.
Boston.
Oh, was it? No, it was Miami.
Let's see. Hang on. Miami, Boston. Boston won the last one. It's alternated starting with Miami. So tonight, if Boston wins by 20 tonight, scratch that. If Miami wins by 20 tonight, I'm done with this series, right? Like, they're just, I don't get it. I don't understand. Texter says on the Preferred Home Services text line 71307, the Mavericks had to bring Luka back in and he almost got hurt. Yeah. Because Luka went and sat down for the fourth quarter and then with 3 minutes left, they're like, oh, damn, these guys are back in this. We were up 30. What happened? By the way, Golden State was not running their starters in the fourth quarter, right? They gave up. Steve Kerr went to the bench. He brought in the boys from the bench. Was like, hey, go finish this up. Get your XP. Get your PT. Let's take this thing to the next game and go win it back in San Francisco. No worries. And then the bench was like, hold up. We got this. Let's make a run at it, right? Let's make a run at it. And then all of a sudden, Dallas is like, oh, hey, Luka, did you hit that treadmill for a minute, buddy? You're going back in. But why did it get to that point? I'll tell you, this one, at least this one, Lonzo, at least Golden State and Dallas, I've got an idea, right? Golden State came into this game up 3-0. Golden State came into this, I think, I could be wrong, it happens 2 to 3 times a week. Golden State came into this with the attitude of, we've got them down 3-0. Those 3 games have not been particularly close. There's been a close game, but Dallas scored a lot of points late in that game. All we got to do is roll Steph and Clay and Draymond out there, and Dallas will roll over. We go back to San Francisco, take a breather before the next series. Dallas said, hold up, we got this. We want one. We're not going to get swept. And they didn't. Phenomenal effort from the Mavs. But why is this the most inconsistent NBA playoffs, at least as far as the conference finals go, I've ever seen? Miami can't stay consistent. Boston can't stay consistent. I mean, Dallas, I don't know. Do we get, I can give Dallas credit, Lonzo. They have not played hard, right? They have not played hard. They're just not good enough. They're just not good enough.
Yeah, they're not good enough some nights. Last night, they were absolutely good enough.
Yeah.
They're not consistent.
Question is, and you said this earlier, if the Warriors from games 1 and 2 show up in game 5 and the Dallas Mavericks of game 4 show up in game 5, who wins?
I don't know, but it's a good game.
It's a great game. I think Golden State wins.
More than likely, but it could come down to the last minute.
Sure.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah. If it would happen, it hasn't happened. In the entire conference finals, on either side, Lonzo, there has not been a game that's come down to the final minute, right? That's always been the crack about the NBA. You can skip the first three quarters because the only one that matters is the fourth. Not in these conference finals. Not in these conference finals. Every game has been over or very close to it at the start of the fourth quarter. Why? And more importantly, does it hurt basketball? I don't know if it does. I think people who are going to watch basketball are still turning in for the NBA finals, right? Regardless of which two teams get in, I think the team, whoever gets in, NBA fans are still turning in for the NBA finals because it's the NBA finals. You know what the difference is? You know what the difference is between what happened with the PGA Championship and NASCAR last weekend, right? I asked the question earlier this week, why did nobody talk about the PGA Championship and why did nobody talk about NASCAR's All-Star Race? And I figured it out. I figured it out. So, you're not necessarily a NASCAR guy. I would say I'm assuming the majority of your experience with NASCAR is when I talk about it. Is that fair?
Presently, yes.
Okay. Jeff Gordon's gone. Jimmy Johnson is gone. Who's the face of NASCAR right now? Who's the guy? If I ask you to name who you think is the face of that entire sport right now, who would it be?
Cale Yarborough.
Ricky Bobby. Who's the face of NASCAR? Is it Cole Trickle from Days of Thunder? I don't know. And I think that's the problem, right? Now, everybody that is a NASCAR fan has a guy. I'm a Kyle Busch guy. I'm a Kyle Busch guy for reasons Lonzo will appreciate, just because he ticks everybody else off because he's brash.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah. And, our buddy Kevin downstairs, he's got his guy. He's a NASCAR guy. He's going to the race this Sunday. You know? Lady friend doesn't watch NASCAR, but she knows who she's rooting for this weekend. She's going to pick the cutest driver. I'll tell you who I thought was going to be the star. I thought it was going to be Bubba Wallace. It still might be. Bubba gets some experience. Bubba gets some better tech under him. Wins a few races, he's a bona fide star. He was on the way to being a bona fide star last year, and then he just couldn't finish races. Lot of bad luck for Bubba in the 2311 car. But who else? Joey Logano's kind of a dork. He doesn't have mainstream appeal. I love him, but he doesn't. Same with Brad Keselowski, right? There's no star in NASCAR. There's no guy. There's no Dale Earnhardt. There's no guy that brings NASCAR, that brings new fans to NASCAR. Again, I promise you, with Michael Jordan in his back pocket, if Bubba Wallace wins 2 or 3 races, people will start flocking to watch him. You don't have to like it. You do have to acknowledge it. But he's not there yet. So NASCAR doesn't have a star. PGA Championship this weekend. I asked earlier this week, why did nobody talk about the PGA Championship? Why did nobody talk about the PGA Championship? And I figured it out. I was thinking about it last night because I went back and I paid attention. PGA Championship, first off, since the loss of Tiger, what has been my one my one complaint about the PGA. Since they lost Tiger Woods, the PGA has not formed another star, right?
Yeah, but they've tried.
Sure.
There's been some guys that they've tried to push, and then those guys may be good initially, then they fall back, and they're not dominant. You gotta find a guy that you can push that's dominant. Is it, who's out there? Who's the number one right now?
The world ranking number ones?
Yeah.
John Rahm, I think. John Rahm. Scottie Scheffler.
Okay, is Scheffler?
John Rahm's number two.
Is Scheffler pushed to the point where if you saw him on TV and you're not a fan, you would know who it is?
Not at all. And again, Tiger Woods became a star because of his background, because of his race.
Well, if I call,
because of his age.
If I recall, they tried to push Rory like that after Tiger died, and it just didn't. Because
Rory just started to suck after he had kids.
Right. He just got.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ricky
Fowler
could have been that guy.
You don't
want to
say they got bad.
No, he did.
They're still good enough to be on the tour.
But Ricky Fowler had kids, and his game fell apart. Who else? I'm trying to think. It was Ricky Fowler. Sorry, not you said McIlroy. Ricky Fowler was in that group, right? Ricky Fowler showed up in the neon shirts and the flat-billed hats and bouncing to hip-hop on the driving range. And then he's got to win, right?
All right, it's not our boy Cam. Our boy Cam. Even though he's got the mullet and everything.
He does have the mullet.
He's got something they could push. He's got something they could push if he would win. The dominant guy has to have an appeal for everybody else, and they haven't found anyone to stay on top consistently.
Sure. You're not wrong. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. Golf and NASCAR have a harder problem than basketball has to deal with, or baseball or football, because they're considered niche sports already. Niche sports already. How do you get more people into it? Well, it does help when you have somebody. Tiger was popular for two reasons. His background is race, A, and B, the fact that he kicked everybody's ass, right? He killed everybody. Sunday red shirt Tiger became an icon. There were people wearing red shirts. There were NBA guys wearing red polos to Sunday NBA games because Tiger was that guy, right? It's a niche thing. People are going to keep coming back to the NBA and the NBA Finals, and this is ultimately where this conversation started for me. But the NBA Finals are going to be fine no matter who's in, because if the Dallas Mavericks come back and beat the Warriors, you got Luka Doncic, the hottest young player in the league, him and Ja Morant. If the Warriors get in, you're either coming to root for or against the dynasty, right? Because they are one. Over on the other side, if the Heat get in, Tyler Hero's been in commercial after commercial the last few weeks. You got the young upstart team that nobody believed in to start the playoffs. They made it. Let's watch that. They got stars. Jimmy Buckets, Tyler Hero. And if they lose to the Boston Celtics, here come Jason and Jaylen. Young stars, young studs. The NBA's got those guys. The other sports, and baseball, by the way, included in this, better find them. Now, baseball does a better job at it than golf and NASCAR, right? Baseball does an outstanding job of it with some guys. Shohei Ohtani, right? Two-way player, one of the better pitchers in baseball, one of the better batters in baseball. I see Shohei lots of places. Shohei is on the cover of the show, which I fired up and played for the first time last night. Man, I suck at that.
Are you worse at that or WWE?
Oh, baseball. Okay. Infinitely. I'm getting better at WWE. I suck at baseball. But baseball is doing a better job. Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna Jr. is doing a better job of pushing its young stars. Basketball, and I've complained about this as well on the other side. Basketball needs to pitch team. They've done a great job pitching stars. Which is why basketball can have a bad event, right? Basketball can have a bad event and still be okay because they've still got stars people will tune in to see even if we don't love them. But it's not like when they have two great teams. It's not like when they have two great teams come together. People flock to see the great teams. They're still coming for the stars.
See, that's the other thing you just said, even if they don't love them. You can also push your villain. You can push your villain. If you got a villain, DeChambeau, and who was the guy he was feuding with?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. For a while, that was...
Wasn't it fun?
Yeah.
Not golf guy. I would bring up Koepka v. Bryson, whatever the next story was, and Zoe would be like, you got sound on that?
And see, NASCAR used to have that.
Yup. Yup.
Whether you like the idea of a guy taking his helmet off and throwing it at a moving car or not, they had that. There were punches thrown. There were things like that. That gets people interested. It's unfortunate, but it gets people interested.
By the way, real quick before we take a break, because we have to take a break. I'm looking at the PGA Championship leaderboard from Tulsa this weekend, and in the middle it says, are you ready to begin your golf journey with a PGA professional? Can you see who the coach they're offering here is? How about our executive director of First Tee of the Upstate and friend of the show, Michael Pius? Love that.
Oh, that's cool.
Mike's name showing up on the official PGA website. That a boy, Mike. That a boy. So, PGA Championship leaderboard. Here's your top four. These are the four guys that were in contention as they came down the stretch. Justin Thomas, your eventual winner. Justin Thomas is a good golfer. Can you remember a single story about Justin Thomas, non-golf guy, Alonzo, who works on a show with a dude who talks about golf regularly?
No.
Didn't think so. Will Zalatoris. We remember him for one reason. He was in contention at the Masters 2 years ago, and he looks like Happy Gilmore's caddy. And that's the only thing we know about Zalatoris. Cameron Young and Mito Pereira. The only thing I know about Pereira now is that he had the PGA Championship in the bag, and he double bogeyed 18 after putting one in the water and chipping the next one over the green, and he gave away a spot in the playoff. So Thomas and Zalatoris went to a playoff. Combined, those four guys on Sunday, last hour and a half of that event, which is a point where golf wants the most eyeballs on it, last hour and a half of that event, the only four guys in contention, Justin Thomas, Will Zalatoris, Cameron Young, Mito Pereira. You know how many PGA major wins they have between the four of them? One, and it's the one Justin Thomas won this weekend. There was no Rory. There was no Ricky. There was no Tommy. There was no Rory. There was no Justin Rose, Cameron Smith. There were no guys. There were no guys out there that made it more compelling than it is. The NBA is putting up a really interesting opening round, right? Phoenix, New Orleans was an interesting opening series. Dallas, Utah, same thing. Memphis, Minnesota was really interesting with the Grizz winning. Miami, Atlanta kind of sucked, but Philly, Toronto was pretty interesting. Boston, Brooklyn, because we all love to see that. Would you say the villains? We love to see the Nets get bounced, right? Love to see the Nets get bounced. Second round, good. Phoenix, Dallas, good. Golden State, Memphis, good. Miami, Philly, okay. Milwaukee, Boston, really good. Now, we got an absolute stink bomb of a conference finals on both sides, and people are still going to watch the finals because they have pushed their stars and made them compelling, even if they're the bad guys. We'll take a break. Back after this, Rob Alonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is a banger, Lonzo.
Yeah, somewhere Diesel just threw up sign of the devil.
I don't think that's what that is, man.
Well, it's not too sweet.
That's fingers out.
It's not hook 'em horns.
Let's see. Well, I found an article entitled Hand Horns, the story behind the popular rock concert gesture, written by Heather Lovejoy. And then I found out that the website it's on is jacksonville.com. So, no.
There's been good reporting in Jacksonville before, right?
Yeah, when people from not Jacksonville show up there to report on how bad it is.
Well, I mean, you reported from Jacksonville, didn't you?
I mean, no, I was an analyst in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but still.
I didn't in Jacksonville what I do here.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ronnie James Dio often gets credit for making the hand sign synonymous with rock. When Ozzy was kicked out of or left Black Sabbath in 79, Dio took his place. Ozzy's big gimmick on stage was flashing the peace signs. It had become such a Black Sabbath ritual that when Dio took over, he felt the band wouldn't be the same unless he used the symbol as well. A former publicity agent told the Wall Street Journal, but he didn't want to be a copycat. Setting himself apart from Ozzy, Dio adopted what has become the rock music salute. Dio, in 2001, told the website MetalRules.com, "It's not the devil sign like we're here with the devil. It's to ward off the evil eye or to give the evil eye, depending on which way you do it. So it's a bit like knocking on wood," end quote.
So it's you're either giving a curse or blocking a curse.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I guess.
Well,
for me,
evil eye is a curse, right?
For me, it's just going, this is awesome. Whatever's happening right now is awesome. That's literally all it's ever meant to me.
I wonder what it means in actual sign language.
I don't know. Anybody out there speak American Sign Language that can tell us what the rock and roll sign means? Inside, if it means anything. I bet it just means, hell yeah, this is awesome. It's been adopted for that. All right.
Or the restrooms in the back.
When a referee throws it, I mean, second down. That's not true. They do that. Actually, do they do that? I think they actually do. And it was one, two...
They have
three
those things on their fingers that help them remember too.
Yeah, that's exactly what that's for. I used to ref high school ball. That's exactly what that's for. You have a wristband, and there's a little rubber loop to it, and you loop it over the finger of whatever down it is. That way, in the action of the play, when you're done, you can just look down and go, okay, that was first down. Let me move it over. It's second down now.
More proof that refs can't pay attention. They have to use little, gimmicks.
It is amazing how easy it is to forget stuff when you are trying to call a game. I've done it. It's actually tough. It's tough. Yep. Listen, the only group of referees in sports that I will very, very frequently go after are baseball umpires. I think there are bad football umpires. I think there's bad basketball referees.
There's definitely bad ones in MMA.
100%.
Too, so, yeah.
100%.
And you know what? The referees in wrestling, man, they don't see anything. I just don't get that.
It's amazing.
All this stuff happens, they don't hear it.
Yeah, you think they'd be better.
Yeah.
Those rings are very loud. Hey, here's a fun stat that somebody pointed out to me yesterday. You remember yesterday when I said, hey, Lonzo, of the last 16 national champions, 12 of them have been from the SEC. The others have been Clemson, Florida State, and Ohio State, right? 5 champs out of the SEC, 2 from the ACC, Clemson and FSU, 1 from the Big Ten, Ohio State. Here's another fun stat that a listener sent to me shortly after we did that segment. Those same 16 national champions, 15 of them, Lonzo, 15 of them have either beaten Alabama or been Alabama, right? 2006, Florida won the championship that year. They beat Alabama that season 28-13. 2007, LSU won the national championship. They beat Alabama 41-34. 2008, Florida won it again. They beat Alabama that year 31-20. In 2009, Alabama won the title. In 2010, Auburn won the championship. That year, they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, 28-27. In 2011 and 12, Alabama won the title. 2013 was the only year that the national champion did not beat Alabama or was not Alabama. It was Florida State in 2013, but FSU beat Auburn in the championship, who had beaten Alabama in the Iron Bowl 34-28. In 2014, Ohio State won the title. They beat Alabama in that game, 42-35. In 2015, Alabama won it again. In 2016, Clemson beat Alabama 35-31. In 2017, Alabama won it. In 2018, Clemson beat Alabama 44-16. In 2019, LSU won it. They beat Alabama 46-41. In 2020, Alabama won it. And this past year, Georgia won it after beating Alabama 33-18. Here's the point that I'm making. I spent a lot of time yesterday pumping up SEC fans. Talking about how they're best. Don't forget, SEC fans, you are the best conference in college football. But let's not pretend like it's not LSU, Auburn, Bama, and Georgia doing the heavy lifting. And let's not pretend like Georgia has been doing the heavy lifting for more than the last 2 years. And let's not pretend that Auburn has been doing any heavy lifting since 2013, right? It has been Alabama and LSU that have made the SEC as good as they are. Now you had Texas. Now you had Oklahoma. Texas A&M gets the number one recruiting class. Tennessee's getting better. Kentucky's a football school now. It is what it is. But let's not pretend like the SEC hasn't been getting absolutely carried by the Alabama. Been absolutely carried by LSU. They have. Ross Dellinger, speaking to the SEC, is in the news. Yesterday we told you about the new potential playoff situation where the SEC may do its own postseason playoff, and they may or may not put their champion into the College Football National Championship playoff. Well, Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated is now adding to that report that not only might there be a new postseason playoff for the Southeastern Conference, but they may join the Pac-12 in scrapping divisions within the conference and going to a pod format. According to Dellinger, quote, "Months ago, a consulting firm produced more than 30 different formats for a future football scheduling model of a 16-team Southeastern Conference. A week before the league's leaders gather in Destin for their annual spring meetings, the 35 has been cut to 2. An 8-game format where teams play 1 permanent opponent and 7 rotating opponents, and a 9-game format where teams play 3 permanent opponents and 6 rotating opponents. Officials feel strongly, according to Dellinger." Sorry, I just read this text, Alonzo. "I'm never streaming this show again. I tune in for the first time in months, and y'all are worshiping the devil? You just lost a fan." You want to respond to that, Zoe?
What's this y'all stuff? The evil's on that side.
What do you mean? Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that voodoo on me.
You're over there throwing up the sign of the devil. I'm not doing that.
That's a sign of Ronnie James Dio, baby.
Yeah, he was never known to be,
Ronnie James Dio was not. He was Dio, man. All right, let me finish the story.
Rainbow in the Dark was a positive.
All right. So Dellinger is reporting that the Southeastern Conference is likely to scrap divisions and move to either a 1-7 model, where teams would have 1 permanent opponent and 7 rotating. So Auburn would obviously keep Alabama. LSU and their fake-ass rivalry with Arkansas would stay. I would assume Texas would get paired up with Texas A&M, or Texas Oklahoma would get paired up, and A&M would probably get paired up with, oh God, who do you pair A&M up with? I don't even know. Huh. Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Arkansas. I'm going to have to think about that. Florida, Georgia.
Thought you just said Texas, Texas A&M.
South Carolina. No, so who's South Carolina get paired up with? I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about
that. Vanderbilt.
You could only hope. It's a free win every year, right? No, Vandy gets paired with Kentucky? I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, Dellinger says that most everybody he's talked to in the Southeastern Conference feels strongly that divisions are, quote, likely gone, end quote, and that a pod system first floated out in the fall has been eliminated. The conference is virtually split on what to do next. Do they go to 8 conference games or 9? And they say that is predominantly split up based on revenue options. The new 16-team SEC will be the richest and most powerful in the history of college athletics. There is no doubt about that. It is also one of the most diverse. There is no doubt about that. So you've got a lot of people, including the voices of Texas and Oklahoma joining an 05, that are kind of trying to figure out how to set it up, right? Dellinger says most within the conference would consider the top half of the conference to be Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Florida, while the bottom half would be Tennessee, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Mizzou. And they say that there's going to be a lot of toss-up between the schools because, for instance, if you're in the bottom half of that list, right? Tennessee, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vandy, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri. Ole Miss and Mississippi State are getting paired up. South Carolina could very well get paired up with who? Tennessee? I mean, do you want to slog it out against Tennessee every year as your one permanent game if you go permanent? So they're probably going to want the 3 permanent opponent model with the 6 rotating games and 9 conference games. Nick Saban, I promise you, does not want 9 conference games. He wants 8, right? Why make it harder to win a championship? And adding a 9th conference game means that every now and then that 9th conference game is going to be one of the better teams in the conference. Nick Saban is going to absolutely prefer, as are most of the top tier teams, the 1 permanent opponent and 7 rotating with 8 SEC conference games. So the problem with all of this, not problem, the reality with all of this, Zoe, is that what's good for the goose is not necessarily good for the gander. And the top tier schools do not give a garsh darn about the bottom tier schools. Bama could give 0 boats about what happens to Kentucky. Georgia does not care what happens to South Carolina and what set South Carolina up for success. That's why there's so much drama here. Let me take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number 2. Start off hour number 3. MLB has handed out its punishment to Josh Donaldson, now Tim Anderson, and Yasmini Grandal. The other 2 big faces in that have spoken out. Tell you what they had to say when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that, Zoe. That's on me. My bad. Did not mean to cost us a listener by, and I quote, worshiping the devil.
You keep throwing up the sign like it's nothing. Look, you did it again.
Because you know why? It's nothing. Look at that. It just means I'm having a great time, everybody. That's it. That's all it means. I'm having a lovely time this evening at this wonderful rock and roll show.
Your eyes are like covered in black. It's weird.
Oh, man. All right. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we'll spend maybe 1 segment on it. But we told you earlier this week about Major League Baseball doing a wholesale investigation into the confrontation between the Yankees and the White Sox after Josh Donaldson referred to Tim Anderson, the black shortstop for the Chicago White Sox, as Jackie. Right after it was over, Donaldson came out and said, "Yo, hold up. I've been calling him that for a while. I've been calling that for a couple of years, and it's never been a problem until now. Why?" And I said, "Yo, before you being Major League Baseball, start to just hand out punishments, before you start to just go out there and tell people you're punished for this bad behavior, maybe ask some questions. Maybe jump in and ask Josh, is that true? Ask Tim, is that true? Ask guys that they played with and around from Minnesota and Atlanta and New York and Chicago, is that true? Get some answers." Well, turns out they did, and Tim Anderson spoke about it. We'll tell you what they all had to say when we come back here in just a minute. 1 hour left. It shall be spectacular. He's Lonzo, I'm Rob, and this is the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.